Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, February the 9th, 1986. This is the Pastor James Hamlin. Trust in this service will be a real uplift in your life as you worship with us around the precious Word of God by means of this tape. We love you. At this time, our choir is going to sing a number that entitled A Beautiful Life. And certainly if you know the Lord today, you can have a beautiful life as you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live out His life through you. We're glad to have you in service with us today. God bless you, Brother Tom, as you come to lead the choir. P.H. Combs is going to come to read our scripture for us this morning, the two verses found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. While he's coming up, I'd like to mention these prayer requests. Let's continue to pray for Doyle Leverage. I know God is certainly able to work in his life. Also, Edna McCausey, Mrs. Eva Lane, she's home now, and she hadn't heard from any of the tests yet, but I trust they'll all turn out for God's glory. His will be done in her life. My mom is in St. Joseph Hospital in room 341. She had surgery Wednesday and came through wonderfully, I think, according to the doctor. She probably get out of the hospital Wednesday or Thursday one this week. Let's continue to pray for Elmer Davis, also Brother Lester Parsons, Oma Combs, who is improving, Paul Boggs. I saw him at a funeral this past week, and trust the Lord continue to work in his life. Also Ms. Beck and Maggie Honeycutt, Ms. Anna Campbell in North Carolina, Murray Caldwell, Vassie Fields, Jeanette and Maude Barker. Let's continue to pray for both of them. And also Maude Baker, Melda Combs, and Ms. Abrams, Ms. Johnson. I talked to her favorite son-in-law Wednesday or Thursday one, and she said Ms. Johnson was doing pretty good, and she wasn't there for me to talk to her on the phone. So continue to pray for Ms. Johnson. Also Grace Combs. This is Pam's sister. Let's continue to hold her up in prayer. Brother Lafer Giles, Nancy Campbell, and also others. I know that many of you have prayer requests today. I know God's able to meet each one of those. Let's pray for the Elmer Cornett family and the Raymond Sizemore families and the loss of their loved one. Be praying for a Good News America revival. Also, our missionaries. And I know the Lord's able to bless this service that we're in right now. My prayer is that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and that you would see Him throughout this service. Brother Combs, would you come and read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer, please?
Scripture this morning is from Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a dispenser of the thoughts and items of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight. Let all things ornate and spread into the eyes of him with whom he have to do. This morning I have a little thought here for today to remember. Anybody might want to remember it. Says, as we assemble here this day, the day we know so well, let us turn our eyes to Jesus. We have a story to tell. So we have a wonderful story this morning to tell Jesus. Let us have a word of prayer this morning. Our God in heaven, we know that thou art God and there is none other. There is none other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. We realize, Lord, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know, Lord, that we can get our prayers answered if you will give us more faith, Lord. We know that you say, oh, you have little faith, different places in the Bible. Lord, we're so thankful that we can offer our prayers this morning by the wonderful words of life. We pray that we can offer prayers for the sins of the world, Lord. We know that you're the only one that can handle these sins, and we pray that for our nation this morning that is deep in sin, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to our leaders of our country and of all that don't know Him. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can know that we have a God who can answer prayers and wants to answer our prayers, and He will answer them according to His will. Lord, we're so thankful for this day. We pray that Your presence will be here with us this morning. And anyone that don't know You, Lord, we pray that this will be the day that they will accept You as their personal Savior. Be with us now, Lord, and guide and direct us in everything we do and say. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymnal this morning, let's stand and turn to page 163. Sing first, second, and fourth stanzas. Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Is going to lead us in prayer today for the offering, please.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again that we can gather in Thy house. We thank You, dear God, for all the many people here this morning, Lord, and we just look forward to the remainder of this service. We just pray for Your presence in our midst this morning, Lord, and we just pray for Brother James that You might speak through him, Lord, that we might be drawn to Thee this morning. We just pray, dear God, for this offering, and we pray, Lord, that it would be given freely and that it might be used, Lord, that this church might go forward, and that we might see people that would walk this aisle and confess Thee as Lord and Savior, even this morning, Lord.
Amen.
We just pray for each one now, and we just pray that You would make us receptive to Thy Word, that we might be drawn to Thee. For all this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Song, "This is the day that the Lord hath made." That's taken directly from the Bible. The Gardeners have a song for us today? Okay. As I said a while ago, next Sunday we have the Servants Quartet going to be with us. I talked to them on the phone this past week, and there was a church where they were going to be on Sunday, the 16th of February, and they canceled out, so they wanted to find another place to sing. So I talked to Jim Cottrell, one of the fellows who sings in the Servants Quartet, and they will be with us next Sunday. Today we're going to be speaking on the sword of the Spirit. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, there are some pieces of the armor that a Christian wears. And one of these is, actually, we don't wear maybe the sword of the Spirit. We use the sword of the Spirit. That's going to be our key verse today. It's going to be Ephesians 6:17, where Paul gives the pieces of the Christian armor. Ephesians 6:17. It says here, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The sword of the Spirit. I'm thankful today that we have a Bible that we can trust. It's infallible. It is inerrant. It's lasting. It's incorruptible. It's living, it's powerful. During the past few Wednesday nights, we've been studying, after a prayer meeting, we've been studying about things that we believe. And I would like to read the paragraph that we had on the scriptures, taken from the Baptist Faith and Message. Brother Hogue Hockensmith worked on this, along with quite a few other ministers. And here's what it says about the Scriptures, what we believe about the Scriptures. "The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is the record of God's revelation of Himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union, and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. The criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ. He is the theme of the whole Bible. Jesus is. Even in the book of Genesis, you see Jesus. As well as in the book of Revelation and all the other books in between. Thank God for the Bible. We also have the two verses that Brother Combs read for us from Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need God's Word. How much would you miss the Bible if you didn't have it, a copy of it in your home? How much would God's Word be missed? You've heard of the Pueblo incident. A few years ago, there were some Americans who were put in captivity. And all those men pooled all the scriptures that they could think of. And that became their Bible. God's Word sustained them during their captivity in the Pueblo incident. My prayer today is that the Bible will be made a greater part of our everyday life as we read it and study it. The psalmist said, "How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Thomas Guthrie said, "If you find yourself loving any pleasure better than your prayers, any book better than the Bible, any persons better than Christ, or any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, take alarm. If you've lost your taste for the bread of life," the Daily Bread says, "confess your negligence and ask God to revive your appetite for His Word. Avoid spiritual starvation." Did you know what? If you and I, as God's people, if we're here this morning and we're a Christian, we're saved, on our way to heaven, and we do not have an appetite for this book, we are sick spiritually. We're sick. We need to desire God's Word. A well-read Bible is the sign of a well-fed soul. Isaiah 55 says, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. God help us to be in the Word every day in order to be a healthy Christian. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the only offensive weapon that Paul gives us in Ephesians 6. It's an offensive weapon. The other weapons given in Ephesians 6 are defensive weapons. The helmet of salvation, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, and all those others. First of all, the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, brings conviction of sinners, both saved sinners and lost sinners. There's two types of people in this service today. Saved sinners, those who've met the Lord in a salvation experience, and those who are still lost, who have never come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior and Lord. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work together. God's wonderful Holy Spirit helped men. Men wrote this book as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. They were divinely inspired. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of Christ, has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. God's Word today will bring conviction of sin if we'll listen to it, not only with our ears, but with our heart. God's Word will do what nothing else will do. You heard about the people who came to church one day for help. They did not receive any help in that service. They left that service and carried out their plans that they had planned to do. My prayer is that every time you walk in the doors of our church, you will receive some help for your life, spiritually. David said in Psalm 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The Word today will bring conviction of sin, and thereby bringing the conversion of the soul. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. We need to stay in the Word. It tells it like it is. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, God's Word is like a mirror. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We need to hear today, and we need to also do. What Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them will be likened unto a man who built his house on a rock. Where is your house built? I trust it's on a rock. The Lord Jesus Christ." My sister that I mentioned last week, I guess, my sister Grace sent me this book right here, and it has this in it about the Bible. "The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions cannot be changed. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemns all who will trifle with its contents." And then here's a thought that says, "How rare it is to find a person quiet enough to hear God speak." I believe someday we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account of how we have heard. How we have heard God. How we have heard His Word. God's Word brings conviction of sin. Both in the life of a Christian and the life of someone who's lost. God's Word will do what nothing else will do. Also, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Brings consolation to Christians. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." God's Word gives comfort. I left my mom over here in the hospital on Tuesday to go to Elmer Cornett's funeral. That day she said this to me and to those of us who were in the room, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." When I got back to the hospital, my mom had already been transferred to Lexington. Wednesday morning about 9, my sister called and said, "Mom is going to have surgery today." So I hurriedly got some things together and took off to Lexington. Got there 15 minutes before she went down for surgery. And had prayer with her. I tell you, friends, God's Word brings comfort. All things work together. My mom came back from surgery. Didn't even have oxygen hooked up to her. No tube down your stomach, no respirator, no ICU. All things work together. My mom said, after surgery, she told me, "I felt so wonderful coming down here in that ambulance. That this was God's will. God knows what He's doing. And God's wonderful Word today can bring comfort to you. Not only during the times that the sun is shining, but also during the storms of life. Psalm 119 says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy Word." I hope in Thy Word. Nothing brings comfort and consolation in times of difficulty like God's Word does. March the 9th, 1977, God's Word brought a lot of comfort to me. I was about 40,000 feet in the air, going across the Atlantic Ocean. God's precious Word brought comfort to my heart. God's Word. We need to make it more of a part of our life. David also said in Psalm 119, "I rejoice at Thy Word as one that findeth great spoil." You can't exhaust the Bible. No matter if you read God's Word through 50 times, you can gain something from it every time. You can't exhaust God's Word. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Do you have a decision to make? Look up. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." You can't get away from God. A fellow one time who lived on Long Island received a very fine barometer. When the instrument arrived at his home, he thought it was tore up because the needle was pointing to hurricane. He he thought must be tore up, so he wrote a scorching letter to the store where he had bought it. The following morning, on his way to his office in New York, he mailed the letter. That evening, he returned to Long Island and found his barometer gone and his house gone. Believe the barometer. It said hurricane. This right here. There is nothing wrong with God's Word. God's Word calls sin, sin. It tells it like it is. Develop a love for God's Word. We cannot know the will of God apart from the Word of God. The Bible, God's Holy Spirit, is able to use the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, to bring consecration to the church when it is heeded. You know what consecration is? It's signing a blank page and letting the Lord fill it in as He wants to. That's consecration. God knows what He's doing. The Word of God is quick, living, active, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. In the book of Revelation, it mentions a man who has a two-edged sword. God's Word is like a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you know what? If you will heed God's precious Word, it'll make heaven sweeter. If you don't heed God's Word, I believe it will make hell hotter. One thing about those who go to hell is that they're going to have all eternity to think of the many opportunities they missed to be saved. I believe God is able to let this service that we're in right today run through your mind if you go to hell. I hope and pray. My heart's desire is that you be there in heaven and not in hell. Listen to God's Word. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God's eyes see everything. I thank God for 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. Some verses that Brother Earl gave us the other night, the other Sunday night on Baptist Men's Day. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Look what verse 3 says. "And every man, every person that hath this hope in Him, purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Someday we're going to be like Jesus. What a day that's going to be. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day. What a glorious day that will be. Psalm 119:11 is one of the verses in the Children's Bible Drill this year. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." The Word will keep us from sin. or sin will keep us from the Word. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word will do what nothing else will do. I appreciate God's word. God's word is sharp. It says here in Hebrews 4:12 again, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. God's word will cut. I appreciate God's word. "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." What do we meditate on? When Moses died in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, and Joshua became the new leader, you know what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8? Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Then there's a verse we'd like to give in closing today in the book of Isaiah, Chapter 41 and verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." Notice that. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is the Lord talking to Isaiah. Fear thou not. God's word today will bring conviction if we'll listen to it. God's word today will bring comfort. God's word today will bring consecration. You want to know what God's will is? He doesn't lead a month at a time. He leads a day at a time. One day at a time is all we've got. As the gardener sang last Sunday, put in today all that you can. I don't know how you came to church this morning, but I know this. God knows. God loves you, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You might have come to church this morning lost. You can leave saved on your way to heaven on this second Sunday of February, 1986. Make God a part of your life. Father, we're grateful for your word today, a word that is infallible, inerrant, living, lasting, forever settled in heaven. Father, right now we pray for this invitation. We know, Lord, that there are people here that need thee. And Father, we as your people already, we need thee also. We're thankful that we can lean upon Thee. We're thankful that all things work together for good to those who are called according to Your purpose. So we ask your blessing today upon this invitation. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Our invitation to Him today is only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Right now is all we've got, remember. Now is the only time we have. As Brother Tom comes to lead us in this invitation. Thank you.